Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Bird Show.
All right, let's get into this Ling thing here because this is pretty intense, man. I mean, put yourself in this situation where you've really got to make some very intense decisions very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Laura Ling. She crossed over into North Korea and was captured. You know, something that we're not allowed to do. And so she did the wrong thing and was captured. But this is her and her sister on with Oprah Winfrey talking about the capture. They've written a book now, and I'm desperately looking up the title right this second.
Why were they in North Korea in the first place? What were they investigating?
Well, she was doing a story on North Korea and should not have crossed over the border while doing that story. But she explains here how that actually happened.
We hired somebody who had worked with the media in the past. He knew the area well. He was very cautious up until that moment. And while we were on the river filming, he continued to walk across the ice. Mm-hmm. And our guide continued to walk closer and closer to North Korea.
That's the river we're looking at, yeah.
Right, and we followed him. Mm-hmm. And he motioned for us to follow.
The guide did.
The guide did.
Okay. Is there like a spot where you know in this, there's this line or there's some division there, that you know that if you put your foot over that, now you're in North Korea?
There was not. There are no signs saying no trespassing. There's no barbed wire. There's no fence. There were no guards in sight. But of course, we did know that as you're crossing the river, you're getting closer and closer to the other side. Mm-hmm. We stepped foot in North Korea, and after less than a minute, we said, we need to leave. Mm-hmm. We walked back across the ice, and about halfway across the ice, we heard yelling coming from down the river. Mm-hmm. I turned around and saw two North Korean soldiers with rifles running towards us.
They're running
on the ice.
On the ice.
All right, so I've said this before, that if you look at this logically, look at careers logically, there has to be a best and there has to be a worst in every career. So one of you is going to the best dentist in the world. One of you is probably going mathematically, logically, to the crappiest. She got the crappiest tour guide and didn't know it. Walks right over the North Korea line.
Yeah, she did. And they were, she knew they were close, but she didn't know exactly where they were going. They were on Oprah yesterday to promote this new book. It's called Somewhere Inside, One Sister's Captivity in North Korea and the Other's Fight to Bring Her Home. Okay. That's the name of it. That's why they were on Oprah telling the story. And here she is after she was captured. What happened to Laura Ling in her own words?
There was a guard above me. He was particularly fierce. And he, as I was down on the soil, he was above me. He kicked me with his boot. He knocked me in the face, in the shoulder, and that just sent a shock through me. And then he continued to drag me across the ice, and there was a soldier upon Yuno that was doing the same. So we were slowly being dragged across the frozen river. And while we were on the ice, again, I wanted to try to do anything I could to stay as close as I could to China, and I actually started yelling, please, please, I'm sorry, we're sorry. And I think that only made him more upset.
So he's dragging you across the ice.
Okay. He's dragging, and I'm screaming.
Were you? Did I read, too, that he hit you with a gun butt?
At that moment on the ice, yeah. It was about, he was getting closer and closer to North Korea. He raised his rifle, the butt of his rifle, and I looked up, I saw the rifle coming down, and I thought this could be the end for me. Mm-hmm. The butt of the rifle struck my head, and I blacked out.
Damn. Oh, God. Yeah, so that's what happens at the first capture. And then once they are captured, she and the other journalists she was with were left alone for a short time. She was working for a San Francisco-based Current TV, is what it's called. It's a media venture founded by former Vice President Al Gore. So that's who she was working for. Yeah. She was actually doing a story on the sex trade in North Korea. And the the things that are happening there.
That must have been like the reality moment right there, because
when you get a rifle to the head.
You get a rifle to the butt of the head, like all of a sudden, like this, you think,
this is it.
You don't see this in our country. Generally, a cop's not going to come up to you, mm-hmm. and he's certainly not going to be that kind of physical mm-hmm. with a woman. And when you get that kind of rifle butt to the head, you're like, damn, these people are not messing around. This is the real thing here.
And here's what they tried to do once they were captured.
Right in somewhere inside that there was a moment where you were left alone. And you all destroyed the tapes, which I was like, oh, you at least got to destroy the tapes, yeah. and that you ate your notes. You chewed up your notes.
It was very early on. It was the first day that we were captured. Yeah. And for some reason, we were left alone with our belongings for a short period of time. So with guards right outside our door, we thought, we need to get rid of this evidence because we don't want anyone to be endangered. So we ripped up notes from the notebook, ate them. Ripped up videotapes, deleted pictures, and did whatever we could in the little time that we had to destroy the evidence in our possession.
Now, here's what Bert was talking about earlier when she has to lie to save her own life. Remember, you were saying...
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to make a decision here. I mean, a really tough decision. What do I do? Because, you know, you're taught your entire life, go the honest route. Go the honest route, mm-hmm. tell the truth, and the system will work for you. Well, in this case, in North Korea, you tell the truth, the system doesn't work for you.
No.
In their mind, I was trying to overthrow the government.
And at one point, didn't you tell them I was trying to overthrow the government?
Yes, I knew that that was the confession that they wanted to hear. And I was told, if you confess, there may be forgiveness. And if you don't, if you're not frank, if you don't confess, then the worst could happen. And so it was the most difficult decision to have to do that. I didn't know if I was sealing my fate and could be sent out to a firing squad the next mm-hmm. day. Mm-hmm. But I just had to trust that this was the right thing to do.
They were at first in their captivity in a 5-by-6-foot jail cell. And they say that, or she said she was visited by a doctor to inspect the wounds that she received while she was trying to evade the capture.
Okay, in a second, Jenna's going to tell you what knight in shining armor comes into Korea and saves the day. But first, John went in on this. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, man. Hey, Thank you for calling.
Hey, just want to say, Rob, briefly, real quickly, I can sympathize with the journalist because I'm a retired Air Force pilot, mm-hmm. and I was shot down, and I was a POW of war for 11 years.
Wow. No way. Wow.
So I can sympathize on what they went through because what they did to us is a whole lot worse.
Just give us a little insight. Like, what's it like to be in captivity, a POW, in Korea, nonetheless, for 11
years?
11 years. Just basically put a lab rat in a cage and then just stick it in a dryer for 24 hours, but do that every day.
You're just like,
you know, by the time you fall asleep and think you're going to get some rest, they come in, they wake you up, they beat you around some more, and then now you're just so tired you can't stay awake. They keep you awake.
Did you think you were going to survive it?
I didn't think I was going to make the first 6 weeks.
Really?
But then after that, you know, thinking of family, home, coming home, hopefully, parents, future, then the wheel starts to take over. So I can sympathize for what those journalists went through, and it's no joke over there.
At some point over 11 years, you must have thought, I mean, if they're doing this to you every day, I'll just kill myself.
Oh, well. Made me a stronger person now because I'm in a correctionals officer now.
Wow, really?
Yeah, those kids.
He's laughing about it.
Yeah, like, well, I mean,
because I work in the prisons now.
Well, you gotta get your mind out of that. If not, you're gonna end up like, you know, a vegetable. You just gotta say, mm-hmm. okay, it happened to me. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm talking to the mm-hmm. Bert Show.
I'm wondering, does it make you mad when you see prisoners who have committed, like, violent crimes in the U.S. get to watch TV and write letters?
I mean, honestly, these guys playing cards and basketball and stuff are doing heinous crimes, murder, rape, and all that stuff. We should just be put in a box and sheltered for the next 5 years so they know it's just total silence.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, being one of... You know, like his guys. Like, you think it's bad here. You think it's bad because you get 3 square meals here,
right?
And you are getting
because we just took
no
away.
Sympathy.
We just took away your.
I could say this: they would give us some food, but by the time you had the strength to eat it, there were flies and maggots in your food, so you had to work around those.
Oh,
wow! And who knows if it's any worse or any better here for Lisa Link. John, thank you very much for calling, man.
Hey, God bless you.
Laura Lang and another journalist, Una Lee, were the ones who were captured back in March of 2009. And a couple of months into it, they were sentenced to 12 years of hard labor. After that sentencing, Laura Lang said she just got super depressed.
You were sentenced to 12 years of hard labor. And when you heard that, what did you do? How did you feel?
I was petrified. Yeah. I had tried to prepare myself for a long sentence. I told myself this could be, it could be long. But once I heard those words, 12 years, come from the judge, I mean, I could barely stand up straight. Mm-hmm.
And didn't he say no forgiveness and no?
No forgiveness, no appeal. And that's what really cut into me. Mm-hmm. So I spiraled into a deep depression, and I refused my meals, and I just kind of huddled into a dark corner of the room for quite a while.
But they say there was only one knight in shining armor who could have saved her.
When Bill Clinton arrived, you all are walking down a hall, and you had heard that maybe he might be coming.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unreal. It was surreal. I was walking down a hallway with dozens of North Korean security agents, and I see this bald American with an earpiece, Secret Service agent, and I just felt the presence of my country. Mm-hmm. And I was ushered, Yuna and I were ushered into a room, and standing before us was President Clinton, and seriously felt like it was this angelic figure that had come, to save us.
And what did you say to him?
I said to him, President Clinton, we've apologized for what we've done. I hope that you can do the same and apologize on our behalf. He said that that's been done. Mm-hmm. I still have a little bit more work to do, but I hope and I believe that you will be on that plane with us tomorrow.
Wow. That had to feel like what?
I mean, unreal. Okay. Unreal. And the only person that could come to our rescue was President Clinton, and we are so, so appreciative.
All he heard was that he was going to a women's prison.
Oh, come on.
You know it.
I know. I don't know.
You want to go get a couple of women over in Korea? Yeah, I do. Gas up the jet. Point at east.
Like, you know, like foreign policy well enough to know why was he the only one that could have
saved
them?
The only diplomat? I'm not really sure what the connection was there.
Just remembering from the story when it happened, like, he had some sort of relationship with North Korea, and the guy who, the Kim Jong crazy, the guy who runs North Korea, like, he loved Bill Clinton.
For some reason,
like, he had, like, a relationship
they
with Bill Clinton.
They had a rapport.
Because you remember, at that time, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Or at least the appointee. So she should have been the one to do that. But everybody knew that because of who this guy,
right,
this leader of Korea, loved Bill Clinton so much, they knew that he would be able to facilitate it. I think that's the story.
Gotcha.
Or something similar to that.
Yeah. Craziness. All right. She also talks about how she actually abused herself.
You know, you talk a little bit at the end of the book and shared with us, having to put your family through this, the U.S. government through this. But during that whole time, were you thinking about how did this happen to you, that you got yourself into this situation?
Yeah, of course. I was angry at myself. Mm-hmm. I would go into the bathroom and look at myself in the mirror and think, who are you? And how did this happen? And, I mean, I literally would, I hit myself, I slapped myself because I wanted to punish myself for putting my family through this. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that every day and the pain that they must be feeling. That was the hardest thing for me.
Intense, man.
Crazy.
I mean, that's somebody's life right there. That sounds like a made-for-TV movie, right?
It does. I bet you it will be a movie eventually.
Here's Angie. Good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, Burt Show. Love the show.
What's going on?
I watched the show yesterday, and I have to say, I really sympathize with what she went to on one hand, but on the other hand, I really feel like some of that she brought on herself.
What?
I mean, I say that because when you cross that river from China into North Korea, you may not have known what footstep was going to lead you into North Korea, but you knew where you were headed to, and that's exactly what she said on the show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can blame her as much as you can blame the guide.
I'm not blaming her, but there are certain situations that you can keep yourself out of danger.
Mm-hmm. For some people, it's very black and white, man. You're either in the right, you're in the wrong, you know?
But she's a journalist. That's what she does.
She's a journalist. You're always pushing there.
Get it. The Burt Show.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.